This is Lead to Serve with Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast.
Welcome to the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado, and it has been some time since we've had an episode of Lead to Serve, but I think it's time to talk about coming back to church. So I want to address that from a couple of different layers, a couple of different places, so that we can. I just finished up another podcast with a friend of mine, Pastor Nate Morris, and we were talking a little bit about this, and I thought, man, we need to put this out. We need to put this topic out on our Lead to Serve. So welcome, welcome, welcome. What a joy it is to be a small part of the huge work that God is doing in your life. And isn't this a time of great stress and great pressure and great tension? It's unprecedented, this time of COVID. Added to it the time of racial tensions, add to it financial issues, add to it layoffs and furloughs, add to it the difficulties of the government officials and all the restrictions they place, add to it the fact that it's an election year, add to it that it's happening in a time with social media and how everybody has seemed to just lost their mind. Now, I want to be careful. I said everybody, not really everybody, but a lot of people are being distracted by their opinions. And listen, we all have opinions, but it's easy to get distracted by them. It's easy to find ourselves involved in stuff that we shouldn't be involved in stuff that really we need to be gospel-oriented. But let's go to the topic, okay? So here's the topic. The topic is, how do we encourage people to come back to church? Now, I realize some of you still have some restrictions. I know in California, while I'm recording this, indoor meeting has been restricted again. He even tried to restrict singing. That's just not possible. You can't be the church without singing. It's like saying, yeah, you can go to the movies, but you can't watch the movie. Well, what do you mean? Why would I go to the movies? Of course, we're going to go to see the movie. But I know some of you are still under restrictions. Nate had shared with me a statistic. I didn't know about it, but he shared a statistic with me from the Barna group that said 33% of the people right now that say they're believers, and he has a pretty high standard of what a believer is, a follower of Christ, 33% or so aren't going back to church, neither are they watching online. They've just completely checked out. And I'm like, oh, come on, don't check out. Don't check out. So let me make the case, first of all, you know, and if you're a pastor or a leader, I think what needs to happen from us is that we continue along the path that number one, we don't become judgmental. Number two, we don't be condemning. And number three, as we're leading, we continue to lead people to the cross, because at the cross is where we die to ourselves. And it begins with us, doesn't it? Dying to ourselves begins with us. And it starts with an understanding of, we're not condemning people and we're not hyper judging. We're teaching them the word, and the word says gathering together is essential. It's essential. Now you think, well, wait a minute. So many churches stopped gathering together at the beginning of COVID. You're right. You're right. And at the beginning of all this, as this first came upon us, we didn't know what it was. I mean, whatever your opinion is of the virus, it's real. It is affecting certain people in a very detrimental way. People have died because of COVID. Entire convalescent homes and retirement homes have been ravaged as the virus enters in. It definitely is a global issue, for sure. Has it become political? Sure. Is it being used for political purposes? Absolutely. Are we on the prelude of the coming, the rapture of the church, and we're seeing end time scenarios work out right in front of us? Absolutely. Yes. 100%. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't back yet. So how do we live with the blessed hope of his soon return, which we're seeing things in our day that no other generation has ever seen? It's unprecedented what we're seeing today. Even though the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, that's true. But what makes it unprecedented and what makes it amazing right now is that we've never seen it in our generation. And as we're facing the COVID crisis, you know, we're facing these things, we want to remember that in the beginning, we didn't know what we were dealing with. And we voluntarily postponed large corporate gatherings. The government did not stop us from gathering. There weren't police officers or military people pushing people through away from the doors. We, and I think almost all churches, all my pastor friends would fall into this category, we voluntarily postponed large corporate gatherings as a way of doing our part to alleviate the spread of this wild, dangerous, unpredictable virus. And we did so in light of our mandate to love our neighbor and die to our own desires for the sake of the glory of God. And I really thought it wouldn't be that long. I thought when we started this, it would be over by Easter. Well, Easter came and gone, and now we're 21, some 22 weeks later, and there's another wave and more restrictions, and we're like, whoa. But we still have that greater mandate, for sure, to love our neighbor. And even as we gather together again, and we've been meeting for many weeks now, we're going to maintain a carefulness and a sensitivity to the vulnerable around us. You know, some people think we closed, and we shouldn't have. Some people think we closed too early. Some people think we closed too late. Some people are going to think we opened too late. But here's the thing, as you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to make a decision that honors the Lord. And for the churches that are gathering together again, I think it's important for you to be back in church. If you're not in a high-risk category, if you don't have a connection with someone in a high-risk category, and the Holy Spirit has confirmed to you it's time to come home, then come home. And you go, wait a minute, Ed, what about the risks? Look, there are always risks surrounding our lives. There hasn't been a time since sin entered the world that there hasn't been risk to our health and our lives. We live with these varying risks every single day, every moment. The Bible doesn't assess the risk, but rather encourages us to abide in Christ and follow his lead. And as we open up our building, we can't get rid of the risk. We cannot eliminate the virus. Nobody can. But we have done our best to mitigate the risk. So I think as churches, you want to mitigate the risk. You want to adopt the CDC guidelines and the guidelines in your own state, your own county, your own health department to mitigate. I mean, our church is so clean now. It's like a hospital. We are cleaning and watching everyone clean and wipe down. And I'm just so honored to be a part of this team. We're doing our best to mitigate the risk, and we're buying new equipment. We're buying new disinfectant. We're having new protocols. Of course, we're wearing masks because that's become mandated by our state, but we had it before the state mandated. Because here's the thing. We want to go above and beyond, because if you haven't noticed yet, there is, I think it's now. I warned our church about this a couple weeks ago, that they're going to start blaming the church for the spread of the virus. It's the church's fault. It's it's those people that want to worship and want to sing. It's their problem. They're the ones spreading it. And I warned the church a couple weeks ago, this, I could feel some hints of it. And then I saw a headline. I saw a headline on my news feed that said the numbers in Orange County, California are rising as fast as Los Angeles County. And I have a lot of friends. Shout out to you guys in SoCal and up and down, you know, all over California, but shout out to you guys. And so I went to read that article, and you wouldn't believe the picture they led with. I mean, I'm sure you would, but the picture that they led with of this, oh, the numbers are going up in Orange County and it's out of control and it's becoming like LA County. The picture that they led with was a group of a couple hundred people outdoors on a beach. I think it was Huntington Beach. It was a worship service. And that was the picture that they tied mentally to the idea of the numbers raising. It wasn't the protests. It wasn't people disobeying. It wasn't people going to work. It wasn't people shopping. It wasn't people in the market. It was this group of a couple hundred kids that were worshiping on the beach. But here's the thing. That exact picture a week prior was used in another article in the LA Times to say that there's that the article said something along the lines, there's a revival breaking out on the beaches of Orange County. They used that picture. And then not a week or two later, they now have, oh, the numbers are increasing. And it they didn't say it specifically. They said it with the picture. They said they associated that with the same picture that was revealing a revival just a few weeks earlier. So the church is on microscope. The microscope is on the church, and we want to be above reproach to the best of our ability, because the corporate gathering of the church, the people of the church, is an essential part of the DNA for us as followers of Christ. From the beginning of creation, God declared that it's not good for man to be alone. The Proverbs say that it's foolish for a person to isolate themselves. And it's true. We were made for connection. We were adopted into a brand new family of God. It starts from the twos that were sent out by Jesus to the upper room with 120 gathered to the underground church meetings. God himself invented fellowship, koinonia, the sharing of something in common with Christ to bless and encourage his people. We come in so that we might go out. Corporate worship, listen, gathering together is not a suggestion from God, but a mandate. We see what God created by the Greek words that are used to describe the church. The first word that's used to describe the church is ekklesia. It's used like 118 times or so. It literally means to called out ones. And in the ancient Greek, this word was used to describe a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place together. And now in Jesus Christ, it refers to a specific group of people who are called out of the world and called into the family of God. It's true. The church is not a building. It's you. It's me. Together forever, called out and connected in Jesus Christ. What's one of the connection points? Well, that gets us to a second word that's used, and that's the word synagoge. Synagoge is translated in James chapter 2, verse 2 as the assembly, the assembly. It literally means to come all together and assemble. And it's really a cool way of looking at it, isn't it? God is saying, I'm bringing you together for worship and encouragement. I'm saving you from the world to go back into the world. I'm taking you out of your home to go back into it. I want you to come together and sing and worship. I want you to be encouraged by the environment. I want you to open yourself up. The Bible says that God, he inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible speaks of it was good when they said to me, let's come into the house of the Lord. And so, yeah, the Bible's clear. The church is not a building, but God uses buildings and he uses schools. And he uses coffee houses, and he uses rooms, and he uses apartments and homes to gather together. So here's the thing: we were taught, and I agree with this, that only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And for that 33%, so back to you, pastors, leaders, those of you that are serving Jesus. It's important that we encourage, not judge and not condemn, but it's important that we encourage people to come back to the gathering, because if you miss one time, it's easy to miss two. And if you miss two, it's easy to miss three. Before you know it, it's 10 and you didn't even realize it. Ask anyone if they've ever read the Bible all the way through. And like if I was at church and the people that are there, who's read the Bible all the way through? Hands would go up all over the room for sure. However, for some people, hands would not go up. And I'd say, well, how many people started? Read through the Bible in January. And everybody's hands goes up because we try to read through the Bible. But then you miss a day, then you miss 2 days, then you miss a week, then you miss a month. It's July. You're not going to jump back in. You'll just wait for January. The same is true with any good biblical discipline where you start out well, you start out strong, and then you can't meet anymore. And then you go from I can't meet anymore to I don't meet anymore. And then you go from I don't meet want to meet anymore to I just won't. That's true with any good spiritual discipline. I can't, I won't, I don't, and I won't. another thing that we've learned, and it's really good. It says, it was a phrase, I forget who said it, but it was like, just because we can doesn't mean we should. And that's a great way of saying, you know, we have all this tremendous freedom in the Lord, but just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do something. But let me flip that around in the context of coming back to worship. Let me flip that around for you. And now I would say it this way. Because you can, you should. If you're not in a high-risk category, if you're not connected with someone high-risk, I mean, if you're already going back to work and you're already going to shop every day and you're going down to Home Depot for the project and you're going to the park and you're going to the reservoir and you're going to the beach, go to church. We need you and you need us. We're the body. We're the body of Christ. And whatever your personal view of this crisis is, most likely it differs with other people. And we know that the virus is real, and we know it's caused thousands of deaths. And we know the way that our governments have chosen to react has created a sense of chaos, confusion, and fear. We know it's been politicized. We know that we aren't getting all the information, on and on. But as we choose to die to ourselves and give preference to others, we can help navigate people back to the cross, where we're following Jesus, and the first step of following Jesus is to deny ourselves. Besides the point that when we gather together, we bring people with us. We invite them into the company. I was saved in a church. Most likely you were saved in a church building. Look, online is a great supplement and replacement temporarily for coming to the gathering, for sure. We are going to be online forever. And we hear even more so at Calvary Church. We also use radio technology, FM radio, where not only do we broadcast our teaching in edited forms day by day, but we also broadcast our live services. So our services are live on the radio. Like, you could come into the sanctuary by radio. We've been doing that for years. And we're going to harness every piece of technology that's possible, from YouTube to Facebook, to broadcast television, to radio, all of it. But none of it precedes and takes the place of the gathering of the saints together. The ecclesia combined with the synagogue coming together to worship, so that we might go back into the world to live out this worship. Because the call of God for us is infiltration. It's not isolation. This world needs good, strong, godly, in love, built up, edified believers to infiltrate it. And we want to be very careful during a time that is forced isolation, during a time, and it's not completely, like, the doors are open to go outside, to connect with your neighbor, to love people in Jesus' name. We need to be careful not to isolate ourselves from the very ones that Jesus loves and died for. The world needs you, but you need the world. The church needs you, but you need the church. God has created these gatherings, and he's created these opportunities for us to grow together, to encourage. It's different, I agree, and it's not the same. But God has shifted. There's a seismic shift going on in the church. So pastors, however you can gather. I know some of you are frustrated, pastors and leaders, because you rent a school and they're not letting you use the school. Well, go find a hotel. Find a place. This is the time. If you remember, if you were a church planner years ago, that you couldn't take no for an answer. So let's keep knocking and keep seeking and keep asking. And I've been on the phone a lot, and I'm grateful for that. You can call me. If you're a pastor, just call me through the church. I'd love to connect with you and pray with you and encourage you. I'm grateful. Email me. You can email me at ed@edtaylor.org, that we might be able to mutually encourage one another, strengthen one another, express the love of Christ to one another. And I'm sorry it's hard, but these are the days of innovation. These are the days of infiltration. These are definitely can't become the days of isolation. And so my time with Nathan Morris just really encouraged me to do this, that it's time to come back. It's time to return to church, church. I know it's only an hour or two, but be built up, because you need the encouragement. In this world, there is tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Read the Bible. Pray. Be in fellowship. Isn't that the essence? Because now, in the beginning, we were in a place where we just said, hey, look, we're going to temporarily close the doors of the larger gathering because we don't know what we're dealing with. But now we're in a place where the Bible truly says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And that word forsake isn't a word that refers to the temporary suspension of gatherings, because obviously you can't go to every church service, right? Because some churches have services 7 days a week. That's not, God doesn't command that. And, or you're sick or you had surgery. So that's not forsaking. That's not forsaking. The word forsake here means to turn your back on, to desert, to leave behind. And it speaks of a conscious decision to abandon when the opportunity is there, to leave behind. And so, friend, pastor, encourage you, don't leave behind. Now, we definitely do not judge you if you come to a different conclusion, because the Lord is leading you as you oversee the fellowship there, and the Lord is leading you as you continue to be used by the Lord. But I do know this, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a place where we're missing out on what God has created for us. And whatever's happening, Jesus is at work. He's doing something neat. He is pouring new wine, and I hope that we're going to become the new wineskins, that we would be able to launch off into what God is doing. And, you know, really just pray, seek the Lord, listen to the Spirit of what God's telling you for your home, for your family, for your church, and then come to that place where you're like, man, this seems good to us and to the Spirit. And as we encourage one another and strengthen one another, we don't need to bite and devour one another, believe me. And, you know, my email's been filled with those types of notes. And I know that not everybody's going to agree with our decisions, and not everybody, some people are going to think we did it too early. Some people are going to think we did too late. Some people are going to think we didn't do enough. Some people think we did too much. And I just know that I love you. I'm grateful to serve alongside of you, and I pray for you. And if you want to connect with me personally, please do. So my personal email, ed@edtaylor.org, ed@edtaylor.org. I love to encourage you. Love to share best practices. I love just to pray with you. And you know, I think that the final exhortation or encouragement is just ask the question before the Lord. Instead of me just saying it, I think that's how we'll post the title. Is it time to return to the gatherings? And for us here, we've concluded yes. We think it's time to return to the in-person gatherings. And so we are. And we hope everyone that can will. So thanks for tuning in. I just had some thoughts on my mind I wanted to get out. So appreciate you. So appreciate all that God is doing in us. And man, he is on the move. Our Lord is the great potter. Here we are on the wheel spinning around, but God is making us into who he wants us to be. And may he be glorified in your life and in mine. My name is Ed. I get the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora. Until next time, God bless you, and look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.